Hey, everybody. Welcome to Midsummer Wednesday Night Service. It's awesome. Good to see you guys. We have a group from Silver Spring in Columbia tonight. They left yesterday. There's 14 of them. And four of my elders are there, actually. It's pretty funny. Yeah, it's good. But also Pastor Jay Esterbrook from York Church. With a group of young people, maybe six or seven. And then there's a whole other group from here. So they have quite a group there for the summer harvest. So that's amazing. And let's pray for them. We'll pray for the message as well. Heavenly Father, we do pray for the group in Medellin, Colombia with Pastor Brent and Lucy, that they would have a great effect with the church there. Lord, for Steve and Paulette and the different ones that are living down there, God, we pray that you would just do a great work there, save many souls. Thank you for their new location for church, and we ask you to bless this message now. Help us to hear your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Good to see everybody. I was just so happy to come tonight and be here and talk about some things. I'm going to read eventually in the book of Genesis. And I was just thinking about this one guy that you all have heard of in the Bible. His name is Noah. How many people have heard of Noah? Anybody ever hear of Noah? Noah's okay. You know, he is actually one of the most accomplished characters in all the Bible. Did you know that? When you think about all that he did, here's a man who God actually calls him righteous and blameless in Genesis chapter 6. And that's saying a lot, actually, for a generation that is labeled corrupt by God. Actually, let's read Genesis chapter 6 and verse 11. It says, "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth." How many people have been to the Ark Encounter in Kentucky? Quite a few. A few people, right? It's pretty big. Pastor Bob Schwartz brought me there when I was... how many people has Pastor Bob Schwartz brought to the Ark Encounter in Kentucky? He's like a lifetime member and one of the original guys. But it was pretty amazing. I was out there in December, I think, of 2016. And we only had so much time for the run through, but on one level, there's this depiction of what evil may have been like in the days of Noah. They even depict a type of gladiator fighting or sparring with a dinosaur. You know, it's pretty interesting. You think about the Romans, this was probably worse than even what the Romans did in the Colosseum. And for Christians that don't believe in the Great Flood, which there are some that don't. They think it maybe never happened. They think and believe in evolution and all that stuff. Let me remind you what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 24. He says, "But as the days of Noah were," verse 37, "so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man." Also, the coming of the Son of Man will be. And of course, Jesus was making a point about his second coming, right? But he does mention that it is actually a thing that happened. This is not some metaphor or some story that we all can just say, "Oh, that's so nice how God saved everybody," whatever. And but it seems that he's making the point that the last days also, in this part of Matthew, he's also seemingly making the point that those are going to be some evil days, right? Just before his return. Ken Ham from that Ark Encounter answers in Genesis. He calculates that it took between 55 and 75 years for Noah and his family to build that ark. That's a long time. That's a lot of effort. How many of you have put that kind of effort in for God? 75 years of building one thing, one project for that long. That was a mighty task, especially when you realize that Noah at the time was 500 years old when he started. So there, you know, I mean, come on, 500 years old. Genesis 7 and verse 5 says this, and Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. I think that's pretty amazing. So this guy is like, he's all right. Noah, wow. No, think you don't think about him this way, I think, sometimes. But this guy really had a formidable task in front of him. But he was a man of obedience, and he had a great family that also believed. They believed the same thing that he believed, which is good. And they have also joined him for completing the task. But Noah also follows through, of course, on filling the ark with the animals, going in with his family, closing the door, you know, waiting for 7 days till it started raining. And then he continues his voyage. And when he and his family finally leave the ark, what does he do? He builds an altar. He builds an altar and he worships God. Noah is definitely on my top 10 list of awesome characters in the Bible, wouldn't you say? I mean, he's like pretty amazing when you think about it. Jesus is in a category of his own, just in case you were wondering, you know, just you know, if you want to know where Jesus was on the list. He's not on the list. He's got his own list. But after achieving all of that, right, he did... So after achieving all that, God does make a covenant with him and his family. And that's what we call the Noahic covenant. And the covenant is actually made with all of mankind. And it's simple. It's a simple covenant. It's just that God will never flood or destroy the earth. And God commanded them to multiply, right, to fill the earth again. And, of course, he sent the first rainbow ever. So in my estimation, after all that Noah did, he definitely deserves the praise of everybody, right? He deserves the praise. He should be given, he should have been given a lifetime achievement award, I think, by God. I mean, this is amazing. Come on, Noah, you're amazing. Because he deserved it, right? For sure. He deserved it. None of us could claim to have done what he did, right? It was incredible what he did. It's astounding what he did in that day. But it's pretty shocking God didn't do that. He never gave him an award at all. Because look at this. Way back at the beginning of history, I think it's interesting, and this is my point, actually, is that Noah did all this stuff, right? And we're good at doing stuff. We're all good at doing stuff. Stuff is what we do. This is what we do. We do stuff all the time. We're always trying to do something. We're trying to please somebody, maybe. Maybe not. We're trying to please God, for sure, in the things that we do for the church and all that. But, you know, we are so used to everybody, you know, giving each other accolades, right? Accolades. How many people have ever watched, like, the Tony Awards, or where the actors all congratulate themselves on how wonderful they are? Or what are the Oscar Awards? Oh, you're so wonderful. Oh, no, you're wonderful. No, you're wonderful. Oh, you're terrible. Whatever. I'll punch you in the face. Whatever happens. But, you know, you have all these people. It's so ridiculous, right? These millionaires telling each other how great that they are. So stupid. But anyway, regardless of all that, we can say in one sense that we wonder, well, why didn't Noah get more? Why didn't Noah have, you know, more of a place in that sense? You know, like, hey, this guy is amazing. He's the savior of the world in a sense. But look what it says. Like, so we look at it kind of in the wrong way. We look at it like we do something and then we get something. We do it, we get it, right? That's how work is. We work, we get paid. We do some great task, we get an award. We win the Super Bowl and we get some, you know, award of some sort, you know, quarterback of the year, most valuable player, whatever it is. That was me, by the way. I was always the most valuable player. It's so funny. My coach hated me, and, you know, and I don't know why. In my, you know, when I played football, he didn't really hate me. But I did one time, we were playing Westfields, and I was the center. I should not have been the center. I was the fastest guy on the team. I should not have been the center. But anyway, we were punting the ball, and I punted the ball over the punter's head. I hiked the ball over the punter's head. That was not good. My coach, I mean, come on, I'm a kid. He walks out, grabs me, pulls me off the field, puts me on the bench. you're never going to play center again. I'm like, thank you, Jesus, right? I'm never going to play center again. But I was not the, and we lost the game because of me. But fortunately, that team also lost another game to another team, and so we ended up in the championship with the team that beat them. Right. And you know what happened? I was playing linebacker, and I intercepted the ball, ran it in for a touchdown, and those were the only points scored. I'm just telling you. I was the MVP that day. Or the MVP that day. And then I remember the next day, I was at the dentist office. And I said to the dental hygienist, I said, hey, do you have a newspaper? And she said, yes. And so I actually looked in the sports page of the Springfield Union, and there it was. Like this, about that big. It had to be like 10 lines. Kim Shibley, you know, did this thing, and we won the championship, and it was amazing. But anyway, that's my championship moment right there. Yeah. And back to the message. Enough about my great football career. Genesis, I wonder if that coach ever regretted not having me be the... Genesis chapter 6 and verse 6. And the Lord was sorry. This is how God works, okay? Because this all happens before Noah does anything. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That is amazing to me. Wait a second. Noah hasn't done anything yet. And yet he's the champion. He's the guy that's chosen. Him and his family will be the ones to build the ark. They will be the ones to preach righteousness. They will be the ones to essentially save the human race. But he didn't get an award at the end. He got an award at the beginning. It's kind of like us. When we believe in Christ, the Bible says that we are seated together with God in heavenly places. Is not, what did I do? I just believed. Well, that gave Noah the strength. That gave Noah what he needed to complete the task that God had put in front of him. And I think that's amazing. It is the opposite of the world. And, you know, it's preloaded in that sense. And this is what I love about the grace of God. It is so wonderful. It is so amazing. It is so motivating. Because we know that we are co-laboring with the Creator to do whatever His will might be. And I just think it's amazing. It's like, wait, hold the tape. How could He find grace now? Cut! Cut! We got to redo this. We got to redo this act. We got to rewrite the Bible. Noah, you cannot get grace first. You get grace later, after you've earned it, after you've done something that is so good. And you think that I sound crazy, but this is exactly what we think. It is exactly how much of religion, whether it's a Christian religion or another type of religion, it is how we think. We think when we do, we get rewarded. But it's just the opposite with God. With God is that He has rewarded us, for He loved us, for He cares about us, for we are His children, for He puts inside of us what we need to do the things that He wants us to do. It is amazing. It is totally backwards from the world. Nonetheless, roll the tape. Keep it going. What's the tape going to look like in your life, right? What does the tape look like for you? It's not, if you're trying to please God through some efforts, it's not what it's all about. Going to Richmond for 31 days, starting a church potentially down there. Yeah, it's exciting. Yeah, it's something that we want to do. But how did that motivation even start? How did it even start? The team found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why are you sitting in the chair tonight hearing me talk? Because you found you need grace in the eyes of the Lord. You need grace in the eyes of the Lord for that. But Noah hasn't done anything yet. He hasn't been tested. I mean, he has, but he hasn't. He has not overcome difficulty that we know of in the face of diversity, which, you know, we need to do sometimes. He hasn't really yet even obeyed God. I'm sure he has, but not in this sense, not yet. And grace is his reward, right? Already? Now? Wait. No, that comes now. It is a reward. It's not a reward for what we've accomplished. It's an award, a reward based on what Christ accomplished when he died for us, when the Lamb was slain before the foundations of the earth. It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing how God's grace works. So we receive grace, of course, the moment that we receive Christ, but actually we receive grace even to receive Christ. That's amazing. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. That's how it is. We receive grace, but let's look at it again. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourself, Noah. I think Noah knew grace. Noah knew grace a long time ago. Noah knew that it wasn't Noah. Noah knew, of all people, Noah knew it was God that did everything. Noah could not do anything. Noah could build a boat. It is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Not of yourselves. I know, I think about that all the time. I think about how much I can fail and how much I do fail in so many different ways. I fail in relationships. I fail at my church. I fail God all the time. I don't pray the way that I should pray. There's a lot of things that I should be doing. I don't soul win enough. I don't do all kinds of things enough. And yet I know this is not how God bases his love for me. That's not how God bases his grace for me. And maybe you do the same thing. But one thing that we have to understand all the time, that we are human and this is going to happen. Nonetheless, what do? We turn back to God and we say, thank you, Lord, for your grace. I know when I pray oftentimes, I pray like the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven. But it's God, you're in heaven. And I'm on earth. You see everything. I just see what's in front of my face. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Thank you for leading me. Thank you for giving me what I need to live this life, what I need to lead my family, what I need to lead my church, what I need to just live and be happy and be satisfied with the things that I have that are from you. Because everything is from God. It's amazing. You see, without grace, we can do nothing. Without grace, we can't really live the Christian life. I mean, this is how religion is. Many people have, in our church too, many people have lived the Christian life without applying grace to their life. It happens all the time. People live the life, they live the life in works. They want to please other people through their life. They might want to please themselves. They might think they're pleasing God. Well, I listened to 18 messages today. What did you listen to? You know, I mean, whatever. Look at what I've done. Hear what I say. See all my fruits. Jesus says this in John chapter 15 and verse 3. You are already clean. I love that. Come on. I'm filthy. Have you ever felt dirty? Ever felt wrong? Have you had someone come up and say to you that they were very offended by something that you said to them and you don't even remember saying it? And you thought, but I never said that. But yes, you did. Okay. All right. And now like, you feel terrible. What did I say? How did I do that? I don't know. Or maybe I said something I did say what I shouldn't have said. What do I do? How do I fix it? I don't know. I can't fix it except for God's grace. Except I can lean on him. I can believe in him. I can believe in his mercy. You are already clean. Christian, in whatever state you are in, if you are a believer in Christ, if you are truly a believer in Christ, in whatever state you find yourself, in whatever place that you are in, if you are saved, if you are bought by the blood of Christ, if you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption, if you've been born again by the Spirit of God, then you are clean. I don't care what your mental state is, right? You are clean. Noah was clean before he even started putting one nail in a board, before he collected the board, before he saw the bill at Home Depot. He was like already clean. Man, the price of lumber back then probably was, I don't know, man, 3,300,000 linear feet of wood, something like that. Ken Ham again. You're already clean. Not because of you. Not because you saved the world, which Noah did. You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Isn't that good? That is so good. And this next statement is so key that Jesus makes. This is what we have to think about, especially when we're not thinking right. We have to start thinking right. Jesus says, abide in me. Spend time with me. Come back to me. If you look in Psalm 42 and Psalm 43, as a deer panteth after the water brook, so my soul panteth after you, O Lord. This guy goes back and forth and back and forth. Right? I'm having a real hard time, but then I go back to God and I'm doing good again. But then I have a real hard time and then I'm going back to God. And this is what is our life, really. And what the problem with some people is that they don't come back. They think it's all over. They think that, was it even worth it? Or they get mad at God or whatever the case may be. But that's not how it is. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you. You cannot bear fruits without abiding in Christ. Who does all the work, by the way? Who declares you righteous, by the way, in 2 Corinthians 5:18, as righteous as him. You have his righteousness. That is crazy. That doesn't even make sense. How can I be right when I know I'm so wrong? And I've been so wrong all throughout my life, and yet God declares me right. Was Moses perfect? I'm sorry, Moses, he wasn't either. Was Noah perfect? Noah was not perfect. Yet he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, without Christians, brothers, sisters, without Christ, you can do nothing. What does that mean, without Christ? It means that you have an active faith in Jesus. You have an active faith in Jesus. You speak to him. You read his word. You fellowship with other believers. That's what it is. You think about life in a different way. We think about life differently than other people. We do. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. You know, when Noah left the ark, he walked into a completely different world than he left. Did you ever think about that? The world that he left was a world of plenty. A world of plains, a world of people that had things. There was industry, there was food, there was all kinds of things. I don't know what those things were, but it seems like things were going pretty well. They had some amazing advances. They had tremendous amounts of knowledge. Imagine the kind of knowledge that you could attain living hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. It's crazy, right? It's amazing. He did, but he, and also it was very lush. And he walked out on a mountain. And he might have even said, what is a mountain? Because the earth had completely changed. It had completely changed. Everything was gone. I mean, there was, we know there was an olive tree somewhere because the dove brought back an olive branch. But he went into a completely different world, and he left a world of plenty. And also, there was no civilization whatsoever. It was just him and his family. And a boat, but no water. no water to float the boat. Can't go back. Actually, probably had to take the boat apart to make shelters for his family. But Noah did something else first. This is what I love about Noah, too. Like, okay, he opened that door, and whoa, it was different. Have you ever opened your door one day? Have you ever found out one day that your life had changed? That everything was different because of something that happened? And then what do I do? Everything, nothing's the same. I don't know what it could be. It could be anything. It could be sickness. It could be death. It could be a loss of some sorts. Somehow, job, everything. Everything's changed. What do I do? This is what Noah did in Genesis chapter 8, verse 4. This is the first thing he did, by the way. Verse 20 of Genesis 8. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord. And took some of every animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. So the first thing that he did was worship the one in whose eyes he found grace. He worshiped the one in whose eyes he found grace. I find it puzzling when Christians, people that have either grown up in the church or became Christians later, you know, and then serve God, people that serve God. But when there's a challenge in their life, when something difficult happens, however, whatever, there's a million different things. Well, 900,000 different things. There's a lot of things that can happen. What do? I don't know. Maybe they get angry at their family. Maybe they get angry at the church. Because, of course, it's the church's fault, whatever it was. Maybe it was the church's fault. I don't know. But the truth is, the bottom line is this, that when people walk out of the ark, they need to worship God. When things change in your life, they need to build an altar somehow. They need to find God somehow. If something happens in your life that is disturbing to you, if something happens in the church that is disturbing, at work that is disturbing, in your family that is disturbing, there is one thing that you must do in order to activate your faith, and that is to begin by worshiping God. Worship God in those moments. Because if you worship God in those moments, God will comfort you. God will reveal to you what is next. He might not take away the problem, as we know with the Apostle Paul. But he did say, you know, that he trusted God in those things. He trusted God in those things. Sometimes people fail to apply forgiveness, as we do. As well. But what do we need to do? We need to do what Noah did. We need to do it. We've already done much of what Noah did, all of what Noah did. We found grace in God's eyes. Amen. And if you're here tonight and you can't say that you're a believer in Christ, you don't know for sure that you've accepted Christ. Have you given your life to Him? Have you really given your life to Christ? That's a good question to ask. Have I given? I'm not trying to tell you you'll lose your salvation. You can't. But maybe you've never really been saved. Maybe you've never asked. Maybe you're here tonight for the first time. Maybe somebody brought you. That's okay. That's a good thing. What do? We believe. We believe in Him. We believe in the one who declares us righteous because of the work that Christ did on the cross. Amen. I love it. I just love that how Noah just began to worship God. As soon as that whole, I mean, what an ordeal that must have been. What a shock it must have been. And the first thing he did was to remember who saved him, and that was the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight that you love us. Thank you that you, we thank you that we have found grace in your eyes through the blood of Christ. Thank you that it is open to all. Salvation is open to all who will believe. And if you're here tonight and you have never really, truly given your life to Christ, you can do that tonight if you want to, if you believe now. If you believe now, you've already been saved. But say this prayer if you like to. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe in you. I want to leave my past behind, and I want to come forward in God's grace and receive the gift of eternal life. I want to be a believer. Say that prayer tonight in your heart. Say that prayer. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I believe in you. And if you would like to, just raise your hand and we'll have a gift for you. If you're believing in Christ for the very first time, raise your hand. God bless you.